I appreciate the Holy Spirit being with us. We must have Him. Every one of us need the Holy Spirit. We need the Lord. We need the Lord to help us. I desire your prayers as we look into some of the Word. I feel like God has given us something that is very special. Something that I trust will be an encouragement to us and yet be a challenge. That's how you encourage God's people, is you challenge them with the Word of God. Challenge them where they're living. I was thinking of the scripture. It's over there in the 6th chapter of Matthew, where the disciples asked the Lord something about prayer. And most people, some people call it the Lord's Prayer. But it was a model prayer. It was for you and I to understand what we were praying for. But I thought at the beginning of the prayer, Jesus said, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Do you know how important that is? That God's will would be done on earth or in us as it is in heaven. God's will is done in heaven. The angels behold His face. We have the scripture that says it beholds His face. They behold His face. And they're there to do His will. Whatever He says to do, they do it. But when it comes to what's done here on earth, His will is not always done. But yet we are to pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." There's a lot of things that you could read into that, why His will is not done. But I want to address the couple of issues this morning. By the help of the Lord, with the Word of God, I'd like to turn to 1 Peter, the first chapter. And we'll begin reading in the 3rd verse. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy have begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." God is determined through His Son, His will on earth is to be done in us. His determination was to bring man into a relationship with God, that we might know Him. I think about, I'm going to get to some of this, Lord willing. But I think about Job when he came to the end of his troubles that we read about. It says that I once heard of him by the hearing of the ear, but now I see him. And the Lord wants us to see him, but he brings you and I through a path that will help us to be able to see. According to the begotten us again to a lively hope by the resurrection of Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now I want us to listen to this real closely. "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be. Who better to know what we really need to help us to make heaven and help us to be successful in our walk with the Lord? Who better that knows it than God? He knows just how to work with each and every one of us. He knows our makeups and He knows our personalities. But he said, when ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Every one of us has our faith tried. Every one of us is tested through the walk of life. We have things that come our way, and sometimes we don't even realize where that came from. Kind of blindsides us sometimes, and we don't understand. But I want to tell us everyone something this morning. It is our faith. It is our faith that will bring us through. Salvation is gained through our faith. Must have faith in God, folks. It says, if need be. And God knows what it will take to get us to heaven. And he knows what we need. I was thinking along this line as I was considering the word. I was thinking of the Syrophoenician woman. You remember her? When she came to the Lord and she pleaded with the Lord, and she said, my daughter is very sick. And the disciples said, send her away. Send her away. Don't even have anything to do with her. And Jesus made a comment to this woman. He said, it is not meet to cast the children's bread under dogs. And this woman was in such a desperate need. She knew, somehow she knew she had come to the fountainhead of life. She had come to the one that knows all things, the one that is able to heal, the one that is able to work out her need and heal her daughter. And she said, truth, Lord, but even the dogs eat of the what's fallen from the table, crumbs that fall from the table. And I think about how Jesus looked at her and he said, O woman, great is thy faith. So be it unto you as it is unto your faith. And her daughter was healed. Because this woman desired, she pressed her way into the presence of Jesus. And she would not give up. She would not be deterred. She cared about her daughter. She loved her daughter. And she wanted to see her daughter healed, and she knew Jesus could do it. How, woman, how great is thy faith? The scripture says, the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perisheth. Folks, it's not, our faith is not going to perish. May the Lord help us this morning that our faith would be strong, that our faith would be in God. And thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, help me that his will would be done in me. There's things that's going to come my way, things I'm going to have to deal with, things that I'm not going to understand. But Lord, help me that I'll be in the place, that I'll be like that Syrophoenician woman. She would not go away, but she pressed her way into this thing. And even when the Lord said it wasn't meat to cast the children's bread to dogs, folks, healing is the children's bread this morning. Healing belongs to us. It belongs to you that have been saved and sanctified and settled in the truth. Healing belongs to us. And she said, truth, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the table. May the Lord help us this morning. Are we willing to take the crumbs? Are we willing to take what God will do for us? We pray and we beg the Lord and we want this and we want that and we want it now. But if the Lord chooses to go some other route or some other way to work this thing out for you, for me, if the Lord chooses to do that, Lord, help us to be settled in our minds and our hearts that we will submit to His will being done on earth as it is in heaven. Sometimes, well, I'll just ask the question. Sometimes I wonder how we deal with life. How do we deal with life? We say, well, there's a lot of giants out there. There's a lot of things I have to contend with out there. I contend with fear. I contend with doubt. And I contend with all these kind of things. But folks, the Lord has giants. He has grace. He has faith. He is able to keep us as we go through those battles of life. They are giants for me. I can stand on the promises of God. That's a giant to me. Even when I come against those things that look so much bigger than me, folks, there isn't anything bigger than God. God has all power. He said, Jesus made the statement, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that He has all power? He has everything you need. If it's your son, if it's your daughter, if it's you, if it's your wife, your husband, whatever it is, He's got it. He's got it. But Lord, help us to learn how to wait for it. Because He told us He would never leave us or forsake us. He would always be there. He would always keep His promises. He's going to always keep those promises. And He has great giants set up for us if we'll just use them. If we'll use them, if we'll stand on the promises, if we'll get the grace that God has for us, if our faith would be increased, if our faith would take it in. George Washington Carver, you ever heard of him? George Washington Carver, a very famous poet. He said 99%, he said this, of those that fail was because of the excuses that they made. We make excuses, don't we? Well, Lord, I can't do this because of that. Well, Lord, I can't do that because of this. And we make so many excuses. Folks, when I get to the judgment, excuses are not going to stand for me. I'm going to have the real thing on hand. I'm going to have the real solid experience with the Lord. I'm going to have to know Him as my personal Savior. I'm going to have to stand in those places where it seems a little hot sometimes. But I'm going to have to stand. I'm going to have to stand in those places. Adversity is going to come to every one of us. It's going to come. And we all know that, don't we? We may not have it today, but we'll have it tomorrow or next week. It's going to come. Adversities, trials, and tests of life. He said that the trial of your faith. Folks, how's your faith this morning? Do you really believe in God? Do you really trust Him? Do you really? It's like giving Him the benefit of the doubt. The doubt that you may have in your mind because you can't see it, because it's not what you wanted it to be. Can you just trust Him and believe that He's going to be there to help you in your time of need? You see, I'd like for us to consider some things. I want us to look at this generation, this time that we're living in today. I want you to consider the people that are out there in the world today. I want you to consider why we have so many people that are so liberal in their thinking and liberal in what they're doing, and so many people that are far away from God, so many people that don't even know what God has to say for their hearts. I want you to consider our young people or our generation that we live in today. Our parents are catering to their children. Do you know that? We wonder sometimes why the little child does this and why the children do that. We wonder why children go to school and they shoot other children. We wonder why a lot of things. But parents are the biggest problem that children have. Because we're not making the children do the things that they need to do. It is adversity. Adversity. Even for that little child. Well, mommy and daddy will say, well, I don't want my children to experience, go through what I had to go through. I want them to have it better than what I've got, what I had. I want to help them along the way. Folks, until that person, whoever it is, understands and goes through adversity and realizes what it means to going to face some hard things and some difficult things in life, they are not going to grow up and they are not going to mature like they should mature. The Bible says that Christ learned obedience by the things that he suffered. Are you willing to suffer some things? Do you want to learn obedience? I want us to consider something this morning. This is the meat of this little message. I want us to consider the sufferings of Christ, and I want us to consider the cross. You have a cross. I have a cross. We all have a cross. At birth, we're given things that we don't have any say over. You know, the color of our eyes and the color of our hair and even the personalities that we have. Whenever we're born, what God gives that to us. We're born into a family. We don't have any say over where we're born. We don't have any say what we're born into. We don't have any say of what gender we're going to be, male or female. There's certain things that God says, this is the way it's going to be. And you and I can't do anything to change that, although they are trying to do that today, aren't they? They're trying to do the God-given things that were given to them. They're trying to change those things and take it out of God's hand and God's control and put it in man's control. May the Lord help us this morning. Our mental or physical health, God gives us that. Whether we have a disability or whether we don't. You can go to the Children's Hospital right here in Dayton, Ohio, and you can see hundreds and hundreds of children that have disabilities the same as the old people have. They didn't have a choice. They didn't have a choice. The skills that you and I accumulate as we go down through life and as we deal with life, God gives us those skills. You may have a skill to do one thing. I may have a skill to do something else. God gives those things to us and chooses as he sees fit. Our intelligence and our free will. Folks, here's the problem. When he gives us our free will, he gives us the cross. He gives us our cross. I want you to listen to this. This is important. We are free to choose, but we're not free from the consequences of our choices. We're not free from the consequences of our choices. Life has challenges. And we do the best that at the time when things come our way, we do the best we think we can do to deal with those things. The ability to alter your cross is left to you through the choices that you make. Lord, this is too hard. Judas, bless his heart, he made the choice, didn't he? Didn't he choose to go out and make covenant with those people for 30 pieces of silver? He chose to do that. And his life ended a product of the choice that he made. What choices are we making this morning? Are we making choices for our souls? He had a problem. Judas had a problem. He coveted things. He coveted money. He wanted money. But oh, whenever God began to talk to his heart and he saw what he had done, that money meant nothing to him, did it? It was a terrible choice that Judas made. But he made the choice. There are lots of forks along life's way. You can go this direction. You can go that direction. We can pretty much go any direction we want to go to. There's a lot of forks along the way. And they require decisions. Decisions that you're going to make. And I challenge every one of us today. Don't make quick decisions. Pray over the decisions that you have to make. Pray over the choices that you have to make. Because, folks, our souls are eternal. And our souls are worth every choice that we make. Every decision that we make. Every place that we go. Everything that we do. It's all about my soul. It's all about my soul. You're going to find as you live life that there are lots of opportunities given to you to shorten your cross. When I tell the Lord, Lord, I'm not going to do that. I can't do it. It's too hard. It's too difficult. And he says, what about my giants? What about my promises? What about my love? What about my grace? You're telling me it's too hard? And you can't do it? Because it's too hard? What about what I have to offer you? What about what I have to give you? But we have an opportunity to shorten our cross if we want to. Folks, we must be diligent to seek the will of God in our life. Thy will be done on earth. We are earth. You're not talking about the earth out there, the world. He's talking about you and I. My will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Oh, folks, if God's will was done on earth as it was in heaven, everybody would be saved. This would be a joyful place. It would be a wonderful place to live. There wouldn't be any crime. There wouldn't be any evil. There wouldn't be any killings and murders and all the other things that are going on out there today. His will is not being done on earth as it is in heaven, but what's his will being done in you? The outcome depends on good choices, good decisions, and they're prayed over, and they're sought for, that the Lord will guide us and the Lord will direct us. Good choices. When it comes to marriage, good choices. That we choose the right one that God wants us to have. The way we marry sometimes can affect whether we make heaven or whether we make hell. It can affect that. Our children. How we raise our children. The choices that you make. The choices that I made. The time that we spent with them. The things that we taught them. What we gave them. I hope we give them good advice and good counsel. And I hope we gave them great love. My little grandson, he's in the second grade. He told us out there at the house one day, he says, his friend's got a TV in his bedroom, maybe two TVs in his bedroom. And there's TVs all over the house. What kind of a parent thinks that their little child in the second grade needs a TV in their room? Without any governing. Without anyone paying any attention to what he's watching, what he's going, what he's looking at. What kind of a child in the second grade needs a TV in his room? What are we giving them? Our children, choices. Our life's work. Good choices, life's work. What we do with life. What we do in life. We all work. I work for 30 some years at General Motors and worked several other places. We've all worked. The choices that we make. serving the Lord is the first choice that we need to make, not self. So many people today are serving self. May we serve the Lord. May we serve Him that His will would be done in us as it is in heaven. Choices. What about the friends that we make? What about them? What about the ones that would say, coerce us to go to the wrong places, to say the wrong things, to do the wrong things? I got family that they're going down to Cincinnati ball game next Tuesday. They've asked everybody but me. Well, imagine that. They know. Do people know where we stand, folks? They've asked my wife. They've asked about everybody around me but me. I love my family. God gave them to me. They're important to us. But folks, your friends, you choose. Your friends, you choose. And you choose those folks that will be a blessing to you. You choose those folks that will help you along life's way, not those people that will cause you to get into trouble and do things you shouldn't do. Choices. We choose our lifestyle, don't we? Every one of us in here have a different lifestyle. You know that? You live differently in your home than I live in my home. And vice versa. We all have a different lifestyle. But it's important that our lifestyle involves the things of God. And God puts His approval on it. And God puts His design on it that it may please Him in everything that we do. Lifestyle. Choices. What kind of choices? See, these things God has left to us. This is where so many people mess up their lives. It's where so many people make their mistakes. Because God's left those choices up to them. He doesn't run roughshod over us. He didn't put His thumb on us. He didn't say that we can't do this or we can't do that unless we ask Him that His will would be done. But I want to tell you something. Remember the rich man when he was in torment and he lifted up his eyes and he saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom and he said, send him down here, give me a drop of water for my tongue. And Abraham said, there's a great chasm between us and you. Folks, we make that chasm right here on earth. We do. The less that we care about the things of God, and the more that we care about the things of ourself, and our selfish life, and the world that we live in, we separate ourselves from God. And the chasm is made between life on earth and eternity. I want you to think about that. The chasm that we make between life on earth and eternity. Because eternity, as we said last week, is surely coming. How am I going to bridge this? I'm going to bridge all of this by the faith that I have in God. The trial of your faith is more precious than all the gold on earth. It's more precious. Why? Because I need my faith for my salvation to work. I need my faith for my salvation to work for me. That whenever I face these crosses and I face these places in life, that my faith will be strong in God because I know He's going to bring me through with victory. Down in my soul. You know, have you ever been able to go back and redo anything you'd like to redo? Once we've done it, haven't we? Once we've said it, we said it. That's just the way life is for us. We can't go back and redo anything. We can't go back and really change anything. I can go back and ask forgiveness and try to make things right and so forth like that, but we can't redo it. We can't do it over. We can be sorry if we did something we shouldn't have done. You know, I listened to a message this week. That's the way I used to be. That's the way I used to be. Every one of us in here probably used to be a way that wasn't very pretty. We probably used to be a way that God didn't put his approval on. But that's what I used to be. It's what am I doing with it now? It's where am I standing before God now? And what am I doing with my life? What kind of choices am I making? Can't go back and redo. I'm going to tell you something. Bad choices will shorten the cross. It's going to shorten the cross. If you let the cross down, it'll let you down. You see, if you can just picture this in your mind, this is my words. When I come to the end of life's way, and I'm ready to slip out of this world and go into eternity, I'm going to lay my cross down. There ain't no cross over there. And that cross that I lay down is going to bridge the gap between me and eternity. And I'm going to walk across that cross to go right on to my heavenly home. And if I've cut it short so many times and it doesn't reach my heavenly home, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? God's promised to always be with us. And he will be with us. George Washington Carver, what did he say? 99% of those that fail was because of excuses. Lord, help me not to have excuses. Help me to be genuine, to have something on hand. Do you know when Jesus, when he finally, it was time for them to take him in the garden, and he was abused, and he had that mockery trial and all those things. He was on the way to Calvary, and the Lord sent him a cross. That cross was so heavy to bear, and the Lord sent him a Simon, didn't he? A Simon. And Simon took the cross and he bore the cross till he got over to Calvary's mountain. May the Lord help you and I that will be a Simon. There's a lot of people hurting out there today. There's a lot of people sorrowing today, and we're always worried about ourselves. Oh, woe is me. Lord, help me. The Lord sent Simon to help Jesus carry the cross. And he will for you too. He'll send a Simon to help you bear the cross. He'll send an angel, folks. He sent an angel to Daniel. He sent an angel to the three Hebrew children in the furnace. He sent an angel many, many times. I can't even enumerate all the times that he sent angels or Simons. God has all kinds of ways to help you and I. He has all kinds of ways. And then I think about, I was talking to someone the other day, I don't remember who, but I mentioned the poem, The Footprints in the Sand. You ever feel like the Lord's just picked you up and he's carrying you sometimes? Lord, I don't have the strength. I don't have what I need to go on. I need your help. And the Lord just pick you up. And you look back and you only see 2 footprints in the sand. And that's when he's carrying you. Folks, we have the greatest thing that heaven affords for us. We have the greatest thing. We've got the Word. We've got the Spirit. We've got the promises. We've got his grace. We've got his mercy. We've got his love. We've got giants. We want to sit around sometimes and we got these negative ideas. Oh, this giant, that thing's just too big for me. I got too much, I'm afraid of that. Or I doubt that that's going to happen. Folks, those giants come down, are mere nothing when it compared to God's giants. And he has giants for every one of us. He's able to help us. Free to choose. But we're not free to choose, free from the choices. How's that? How does that say that? Free from the consequences of your choices. We're not free from those. We sometimes suffer because of the bad choices that we made. I'm thankful this morning that Jesus understands you and I need a lot of help. We need a lot of help. We truly do, every one of us. We need him to help us. I'd like to turn to the 17th chapter of St. John, or John. 17th chapter of John. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven. And he said, this is the Lord's Prayer, folks. This is the Lord's Prayer. And what did he say? Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. The hour had come, and Jesus knew it. And he was going to go suffer. But he said, glorify thy Son. How did God glorify his Son? Through the cross and his resurrection. How's he going to glorify us? Through the cross and our resurrection. You see, those old graves that we go to when we die, they ain't going to hold us forever. There's going to be a resurrection, saints. There's going to be a resurrection where all of God's people are going to come and come before him and be judged by him, and we're all going to be taken up to glory. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. This is life eternal. This is it. That they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. That's life eternal. The only true God. The giving of eternal life that you and I have a hope of depended on him being glorified. Depended on him going to his cross. He didn't do anything wrong. But he went to the cross for you and I and gave his life and shed his blood, and he was glorified by the Father. And he rose from the dead. And you and I have that to look forward to someday. Eternal life, folks, is a forever. Eternal life is a forever relationship with God. Can you imagine that? All your troubles, all your crosses are laid down, all the things that you're burdened for, all the needs that you have, all that is behind you, and eternal life is a forever relationship with God. I want that relationship, don't you? I want that relationship. My wife and I have a friend. We met her the other day. She has a lot of physical problems. And she had a list of medicines. My wife is always interested in that stuff. She doesn't like medicine, but she's interested in what people are taking. So she gave her the list. And last night, we were sitting there, and I was looking up on my phone all the different medicines that this woman is taking. And then it says the after effects. What it can cause. You know about that. You know about that. Some of that medicine that she was taking can cause heart pain, chest pain, I'm sorry. And yet it's taken for chest pain, and it can cause it. It can cause eyes to blur and cause her not to be able to see good, spots before her eyes. It can cause, I mean, the things that those medicines would cause was awful. It was awful. You wouldn't want any of those things to happen to you. And yet here we are today serving a God. And I point that out to say this. We're serving a God, folks, that knows exactly how to heal us. He knows exactly how to bless us. He knows exactly what to give us to help us to be successful along life's way. And there is no after effects. There's no after effects. I told my wife on the way home after we had met her, I said, you know, I got pretty much the same problems she does. And the medicine I'm taking has no after effects. Because I ain't taking any. I'm trusting God. Give it all to Him. Glorify Him. Lay your cross. Pick up your cross. Don't lay it. Pick up your cross and follow Him. Wherever it leads, wherever He takes you, make the right choices. Make the decisions that will cause you to prosper in your soul. Folks, you'll live happily. You know how that's the old stories go? And they live happily ever after. You'll live happily ever after. It's not a fairy tale. You'll live happily ever after. We just got to make it through this old world. We got to make it through the decisions that we have to make, through the choices that we have. We have to make it through life. And if we'll just keep our little hand in God's big hand and trust Him with everything that we have, folks, we'll make it. And we won't have to worry about it anymore. May the Lord help us all. The cross. There's a lot of churches today that don't preach the cross. But it's still in the Bible. It's really what our life is all about. Is the cross. I want to read some words to you. Fear not. I am with thee. Oh, be not dismayed. For I am thy God and will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, cause thee to stand, upheld by my gracious, omnipotent hand. A firm foundation. When through the deep waters I call thee to go. You go through some deep waters. The rivers of sorrow shall not overflow. For I will be with thee. Thy trouble to bless and sanctify to thee thy deepest distress. When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The giant, his grace. The flame shall not harm thee, I only redesign thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. I remember being in California a couple of years ago. Brother Brian Rich having his problems and issues that eventually took his life. And he suffered so. And his breathing was labored and he was full of fluid and so forth. And I said, brother, we prayed for him multiple times. But I said, brother, refining process, kind of rough, isn't it? God's getting you ready. He's getting us ready, folks. the refining process is hot. It goes against the nature of the flesh, of who we really are. But folks, it's to get us to a better life. It's to get us to a better place. It's to get us to be ready to meet God in peace. Thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. Scripture in Proverbs says the furnace for silver, the fining pot for silver, and the furnace for gold. It's gold God's looking for, folks. Job knew that, didn't he? I can't find you anywhere, Lord. I'm just walking along through life. Put yourself there. I'm just walking along through life. I got this coming at me, that coming at me, decisions to make, choices. And I can't find your help anywhere, but I know that you know the way that I take. And when I come forth, I shall be as gold. It's gold God's looking for. It's gold that God's going to bless. The soul that on Jesus doth lean for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. Folks, don't forsake your souls. The soul's the most precious thing you got. Guard it. Keep it wisely. Carry the cross. Bear the burden. Take the adversity. Challenge it. Let it be a challenge to you. The Lord's going to help you through. The Lord's helped us all through many times. And he's not going to give up on us now. So I encourage you and I challenge you. Keep your eyes on the Lord. This precious gold, this precious faith, more precious than gold, the Lord knows how to refine it. He knows how to make it strong. He knows just exactly what you need to get you to the place where you'll be strong and faithful to the Lord. Amen.